WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
A lot of people breathed a sigh of relief when the Commerce Department recently announced that the gross domestic product for the second quarter of 2001 had grown by 0.2%. According to a widely used definition, that means that the U.S. economy didn't satisfy the technical definition of a recession. As our linguist Jeff Nunberg observes, it's just one more sign of the influence that economists have on the way we talk about hard times nowadays.
I got a job working construction for the Johnstown Company. But lately there ain't been much work on account of the economy.
That's Bruce Springsteen's The River, one of his chronicles of working class desperation. The sentiment wouldn't be out of place in a song by Woody Guthrie, but Guthrie wouldn't have talked about the economy. He would have said, "There ain't been much work on account of times are hard." It's only in the last 40 years or so that ordinary people have talked about the economy like that, as a natural force that blows hot and cold like the weather. As time goes by, we turn to economists more and more for help in talking about the vagaries of fortune, particularly when times are bad. It began with the word depression itself. Economists since Adam Smith used phrases like trade depression, but only in a literal sense, to mean that prices or production were lowered. The word didn't acquire its modern sense until after the stock market crash of 1893, which was triggered by the overbuilding of railroad infrastructure. The general economic meltdown that followed became known as the Depression of the 90s. Before it was over, a third of the nation's railroads were in bankruptcy. President Cleveland and his party had been roundly repudiated in midterm elections, and the word depression was irredeemably associated with desperate times. Not long after that, economists introduced the word recession as a new euphemism for economic reverse. Just a few weeks after the Wall Street crash of October 1929, The Economist magazine confidently reassured its readers that American prosperity was too firmly based to risk a prolonged slowdown, even if we have to face an immediate recession of some magnitude. But as the collapse got worse, the delicacy of describing it as a recession became more and more incongruous. As the narrator of a 1938 Eric Ambler thriller put it, "Trade recession, they called it. As far as I could see, there wasn't a great deal of difference between a trade recession and a good old-fashioned slump." Euphemisms tend to lose their usefulness when their cover gets threadbare, and by all rights, recession should have suffered the same fate that depression had. But by the second half of the 20th century, economists had enough public influence to reclaim the word. About 40 years ago, the Kennedy administration economist Arthur Okun suggested that a recession should be defined as a period of two consecutive quarters of decline in gross domestic product. The definition was simple and convenient, and it caught on quickly with the press. By now, it's even worked its way into some dictionaries. Still, that definition could fail to capture some serious slumps, and a lot of economists don't use it. Some of them define a recession in terms of the unemployment rate or other factors, and others refuse to give any precise criteria at all. In fact, the Federal Reserve Bank defines a recession simply as a significant decline in general economic activity extending over a period of time. Of course, you'd expect a certain amount of vagueness from an institution that's made a high art of not tipping its hand. But when you pin them down over drinks, most economists will admit that a recession is really no more exact a notion than a bad hair day. Even so, that technical definition of recession is attractive to politicians who are mindful of what happened to President Cleveland. Back in the early 1980s, Reagan administration economists took sharp issue with a report from the National Bureau of Economic Research that claimed that there had been two separate recessions in 1980 and 81. They argued that there had been only one long one, and that it was entirely Jimmy Carter's fault. And just this past year, President Clinton used the technical definition to rebut the charge that President Bush was inheriting a Clinton recession. If the economy doesn't get any worse, it's a safe bet the Republicans will be citing exactly the same definition when the midterm elections roll around in 2002. But in the end, we all have a stake in pretending that the vicissitudes of the business cycle can be reduced to precise definitions. As the stock charts head downwards, it's comforting to watch the economists on the business shows bandying definitions of market correction and expatiating about V-shaped recoveries. It's all reassuringly clinical, like listening to a clutch of cardiologists going over your EKG. It's striking how our economic talk has been purged of all the emotionally charged terms of earlier periods. People don't talk about financial panics anymore. Now we have major sell-offs. That suggests a more orderly retreat, even if the exchange floor is still strewn with bodies at the end of the day. And it'll be a cold day indeed before anybody on CNBC ever talks about hard times, a phrase that recalls the gaunt faces of the Dust Bowl farmers in the photographs of Walker Evans and Dorothea Lange. Economic downturn is a more congenial turn of phrase. It makes you think of out-of-work.comers networking at a south-of-market happy hour. Well, and why not? Since the days of the cavemen, we've been counting on the spells of the shamans to keep the bears away from our doors. And as we listen to the economist on CNBC, we can take heart in knowing that prosperity is just around the inflection point.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.